This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome back to Wells Tech. This is episode 399 for Tuesday, June 30th, 2015. My name is Martin Spriggs, and joining you once again to talk a little bit of technology, a little bit about ministry and where those two meet. And back, relaxed, refreshed, co-host Sally Draper. Hey, Sally.
Hi, Martin. I'm so happy to be back at Wells Tech podcasting again this week. Last week I was on vacation. This week I'm back. And, you know, it's kind of like missing church on Sunday. It's something I don't normally do, miss the podcast. And I miss being here. I actually watched you live. I tuned in for about the last half of the show last week live. And it's kind of hard to get back in the saddle and be ready to podcast again after you have a little break. But very good.
You're out in the woods and you still were able to tune in the podcast.
That's right. Something I didn't have 7.5 years ago when we started podcasting was a internet-friendly cell phone that allowed me to tap into those towers. Wherever they were close enough for me to live stream the show, yeah, video included.
Yeah, just a reminder to everybody, we do live stream this show every Tuesday afternoon Central Time, 4 o'clock, which is kind of nice if you are available to have you join us, because you can participate in the conversation and perhaps direct our conversation with your own questions, comments, etc. There is a question box that would allow you to do that. So, Sally, what did you do with your extra 1 second today?
My extra 1 second. I think I slept through it, perhaps.
Good.
I heard you talk about that.
I mean, that's useful. The 1 second we get every 10 years or so. Hoped everybody used it wisely. I used it in preparation for this show, so it should be 1 second better than it was last week. In fact, it'll be a lot better because I was flying solo last week, and I've got the benefit of having a seasoned podcasting partner, Sally Draper. 399 times we've done this, Sally.
That's right. And lots that I've learned along that path, for sure, in 7.5 years.
Yeah, it's interesting. We're going to spend a little time at the front end of this show talking about show number one, which was way back in whatever year and date.
January 2008, yep.
That's right.
Long time
2008
ago.
That's a long time in technology speak, isn't it?
Dinosaur days. That's right. We've seen a lot of progress in 7.5 years, and we've seen, we do our planning and we talk through these topics. And one thing we didn't write down, Martin, was our community. And 7.5 years ago, we didn't have a Wells Tech community, and we've seen a vibrant community grow up around the topic of tech and ministry, eager to use the tools that God's given us to further that gospel message. And it's just exciting to have been on the sidelines and watched all the work that's been done this past podcasting history. So,
yep. So this show, let's take a look back at tech and ministry changes, how it has evolved and moved in these 399 episodes, and I would dare to say that it's come a long, long way.
Yeah, Martin, you mentioned show number one. We often reference the Wells Tech website, wellstech.wells.net. And show number one started at that same address, wellstech.wells.net. I don't have a screenshot from the actual website, show number one, but I have a screenshot from episode 104. And it kind of gives you an idea, if you're watching the video, of what the website used to look like, because not only has the podcast been going for quite a while, we've had some iterations of our design, our website look. So if you're able to view the video, you can see a trip back on memory lane of what the website used to look like design-wise.
Way back machine action. Maybe, Sally, a good question that we should ask and answer again, which we kind of do amongst ourselves and maybe once in a while with our audiences, why a podcast? Why has all this happened? Why have we done this 399 times? How would you answer that question?
You threw that right over in my direction, didn't you, Martin? Why a podcast? Well, I think I said it already that God has blessed us here in the 21st century with amazing tools that we can use to further the gospel message. And we want to be wise stewards of those tools. And we want to learn from each other. So having this kind of community built up around the podcast, people sharing their ideas, has benefited, I think, all of us across the Synod as we've implemented new strategies around technology in our ministry efforts.
I kind of equate what we do to last generation's newsletter, only on steroids. So obviously, the newsletter of our parents' newsletter was basically a one-way get out the information. This is stuff you need to know and read. And but that was a one-way communication tool and not very dynamic. I view WellsTech as, you know, the newsletter of today, except the listeners and viewers of the newsletter can also shape the content of it. And that's kind of a cool thing, in my opinion, where I think it's infinitely more useful, more dynamic, more interesting, and certainly, hopefully, a tool that God, as you mentioned, a tool that God can use to help people be better stewards of technology.
And, you know, Martin, it was kind of funny as we look back at some of the early topics that we covered. We're still covering the same topics today. So, I mean, part of me says, well, we've done the podcast. We could shutter it down and we could look back and see what we talked about. But that's one thing that the podcast has taught us is that as soon as we talk about it, it tends to change a good bit. And so keeping things current and exploring new avenues and new uses of the technology over time has been very beneficial.
Yep. So let's take a look at some of our firsts and see how far we've come. One of the things that I think both you and I enjoy the most about the podcast is having our guests come on, talk about, you know, their areas of expertise. And we try and get an interview every couple shows if we can. That's not the easiest of things. But our first guest was not a Wells member, was not a pastor or teacher or call worker or a lay worker in one of our churches. It was one of our valued partners, Final Web's, one of Final Web's founders, Brian Schaefer, showed up on the first show, and we had a chance to talk to him about the importance of websites, and the evolution of Final Web amongst our congregations is kind of dramatic too. We did a little count back in that the time frame of that first show. There were about 300 congregations, schools using the service. Now it's over 600, so doubled its growth in the time that we've started the podcast. And one of the real success stories, I think, of our Shop Wells program and of our Synod, where a lot of people did not have websites that they could be proud of, or websites at all, before Final Web came on the scene for us. So it was a real positive thing, I think, for our Synod, and clearly those people who are using it.
Yeah, and it's so neat, Martin, that we started with Brian, and Brian will be in the Milwaukee area next week being asked to come and be part of our Wells Tech Conference. He's going to have a vendor display booth. He's also going to present some information about the newest cutting edge things that are coming out of Final Web. So here we are 7.5 years later with a healthy relationship with Final Web and really, really looking forward to meeting Brian face to face for the first time at Wells Tech Conference.
Yeah, and Final Web has moved along in the process as well. They now offer streaming services and real recently are going to be launching or have launched the ability to create mobile apps. So get those in iTunes and Android stores. So progress there. So looking forward to having him at the conference. There are a number of firsts, obviously, in our first show. We had our featured musician, our Wells artists, and that was Mike Wessendorf. And Mike is a friend of the show and just a very talented guy. We had him come on the show. And kind of interesting because for all the stuff that he's done, he releases new albums, and he just released a new album. If you go to his website, MikeWessendorf.com, you can see what he has done and the progress that he has made. Mike's maybe more known for being the weatherman. He is the weatherman for one of our local radio stations, but has a wonderful ministry, and that was one of the reasons we wanted to have him on one of our first shows. In fact, he was on the first show.
Yep, and still going strong. Good stuff there from Mike. We took a look at the first few shows, though, and interestingly, on episode 2, we tackled the topic of mind mapping, something that has played a big role in the history of Wells Tech Podcast. And for those who aren't familiar, mind mapping is a note-taking or organization tool, maybe more like an outlining tool, that kind of goes along the lines of webbing techniques that teachers might use to help their students flesh out a topic for a paper or for writing something. And we adopted mind mapping for fleshing out our show topics and all the different things we're going to talk about. I could probably even share my screen. We've done that in the past.
We're both looking at one right now. Right.
Yeah, that's exactly how we managed to make it through all these episodes. We map them out. We add links and things to our mind map. We've done this since day one. We are using the tool from MindJet. It's called Mind Manager. We actually have tried different mind mapping tools throughout the history of the show, but have come back to MindJet, which is the one we started with, and kind of sets a really high bar, and we've been very pleased with it. Throughout the history of the show.
And as we talked about on that show, and we've actually talked a number of shows about mind mapping software, applications across the board from meeting notes, meeting management, to brainstorming, to devotion or sermon writing. I've talked mm-hmm. about how to outline for that. That's what I use when I create devotions. You can use it for lesson planning. And obviously, there's other applications within the classroom as well. So service planning, all of those apply. It's just a real flexible tool.
Idea is that you can drag and drop things around as you change your mind. It's real easy to be flexible with the hierarchy of the topics.
Yep, it takes you out of that linear thinking mode into more radiant mm-hmm. thinking, which is really what it's based on. So,
yep. Well, I think my mind is radial.
Right. Yeah, some of our mind maps are pretty scary for this show. It comes through, I think, in the show itself. Show number 3 is a topic that is really hot today. It was hot back then, maybe for different reasons, but that's security. So, Sally, security still is a thing these days, isn't it?
It definitely is. We even have several speakers coming to Wells Tech Conference to talk on the topic of security. But back in the day, we had our friend Rob Benson, who works for the Synod and is our security administrator there at the Synod, keeping us safe and all the important data that we manage. And yeah, we could probably have Rob on again today, Martin, and he would have some of the same lessons and some many updated lessons that he's learned in the last 7.5 years.
Yeah, back then it was all about securing your computer. Now it's about securing your online accounts and things like LastPass, which we talked about a couple shows ago. You know, all of our data is online. It wasn't as much then, but so security is extremely important these days, and we'll continue to talk about that. In fact, we talked about it just a few weeks ago. We devoted mm-hmm. a show to it entitled Don't Get Too Comfortable. Mm-hmm. And then maybe the last show we would mention is show number 4. We were just kind of hitting our stride, maybe. I don't know if we've hit our stride.
Four shows. I don't know if I've hit my stride yet, Martin.
Show we talked about copyright, and we're still talking about that today. We've got some great resources we've developed over the years. Copyright still is something that we all need to be paying attention to, and still as complicated as ever, I think.
Yeah, but one good thing that's on the scene these days that we didn't have 7.5 years ago is Christian Copyright Solutions website, and in particular their fact sheets. I'm glad that we're mentioning it today. I'm happy to add a link to the show notes because their fact sheets are really well done and definitely will give you some good information in all different areas of copyright in relation to ministry.
Another interesting thing that happened on that show, we've been doing picks all along, so we've got at least 399 picks apiece, plus our some of our guests and guest hosts and those. But one of, I think, my pick in that fourth show was Google Reader. And we all know what happened to poor Google Reader. Google decided no more Google Reader for us. Which is interesting because that put at risk RSS, which we need. In fact, this show wouldn't really be published to like iTunes and other places without the wonders of RSS. But how do we get our information? We do a lot of planning for the show based on stuff that goes out and the tools that we used back then were Google Reader, and we've talked about Feedly as its replacement, but I think the social networks of the day have kind of replaced things like Google Reader, so we have Twitter and Facebook and Flipboard to get that tech news and ministry news and figure out what we need to be talking about on the show. So there are replacements, but it's not the same landscape that it was back when Google Reader was so important to both of our preparation for the show.
Absolutely. There's been other tools that have fallen by the wayside over the last 7.5 years. One that popped to my mind was Delicious, and I used it a lot for prepping for the show as well. It was a social bookmarking tool that allowed you to save favorite websites and things like that as bookmarks. And Delicious actually still exists, but it went through a period of time where it was going to be sold off or shuttered, and someone bought it and it wasn't real stable. And at that time, I switched gears and went to Digo. And I'm still a Digo user, Martin. I think you're using a different social bookmarking
tool these days. Using Pingboard, but I still use Digo once in a while, mostly because we've got a community around it and a lot of our listeners still use it too. So.
Definitely.
And it's not that Digo is a bad tool. It's the fact that they've kind of pushed some of the more useful features into their paid subscriptions.
Yeah, so monetized it.
Although
bit
I do pay for Pinboard as well. It's just, I like the tool. So.
So one more worth mentioning that
Google
fell by
Reader.
The wayside.
What's that?
I said one more worth mentioning that fell by the wayside was one of my very favorites, Picnic. Spelled with a K, a lovely image editing tool that was out there, very user-friendly and intuitive, and I don't know how many shows I mentioned it on early on in the podcast, but thankfully, over time, PicMonkey came out as a replacement. Many of the people that worked with Picnic, which was bought by Google and shuttered, went and develop PicMonkey as a replacement. And now I get to grin these big PicMonkey grins and tell you all about PicMonkey. So that's one of those has-beens that had another life and a different tool.
Yep. A couple things that are maybe highlights for our listeners and our viewers each month are when we have those guest hosts. And we've been really blessed, Sally, to have two very regular guest hosts with Gail Potratz and Jason Schmidt. Gail was almost from the beginning. I think the first episode that she appeared in was episode 17 on April 30th of 2018. And I don't remember what it was. What's that?
You said 2018. You meant 2008.
I'm sorry, 2008.
There you go.
How about that? I don't remember what it was that we actually talked with her about. Do you?
Well, I've got it up here on the screen, and she talked about classroom podcasting.
Oh, okay.
Was doing some cool stuff there at Emmanuel in New London. We gave her a special title. She was our semi-regular classroom technology correspondent, and she's been joining us every month or every other month since 2008 during the school year. Last Tuesday of the month was always dedicated to ed tech discussion. In 2011, we added to our semi-regular classroom technology correspondents by adding Jason Schmidt, who had been contributing very regularly to the show, but in 2011 he signed on with us as someone who would do it on a regular basis. And what a blessing both of them are. They bring that real-time hands-on experience from the classroom right to our podcast, and it's really great.
Yeah, you said signed on. That makes me that might suggest to our listeners that there is some kind of contract and there's some kind of remuneration. The great thing about these co-hosts and anybody else who appears in the shows, we don't pay them anything, but they're just so gracious about coming on, giving of their time, and there is preparation for this, and their sharing of themselves to do this. It's just an awesome thing that they do that.
It really is. We say thank you a lot, but yeah, that's what they get from us, and we really, really appreciate their contributions.
Yep.
A few more things worth mentioning, Martin. I thought I'd throw the resource page out in front of folks because that's a place that didn't exist from the beginning. But as we begin talking about a lot of different topics and going through different series and things, particularly book discussions, we did one of those every season, every kind of school year since that first fall of 2008. And we've had several special series over the summer, over different time frames and things where we've focused on things in a series. All of those things are pulled together on the resources page, which probably didn't exist until maybe 2011 or something like that, when we realized, hey, we've got a lot of things we need to pull together and show as compilations and things like that.
Yeah, we should probably talk about all of the resources that we have, not just the resource page, but the site in general, wellstech.wells.net. If you're curious if we've talked about a certain topic or maybe there's been some community feedback on it, that is a great place to go. Just use the search engine and you should be able to find what you're looking for. We have the Wells Tech Wiki that's also available, where we're trying to structure some of the information, like we talked about copyright and those kinds of things, and there's all kinds of good information there. I think I mentioned some on the last show that Jason Winjet just added some information about high definition live streaming, you know, that kind of stuff is all there as well. So good stuff there. And kudos to Sally for making all that. I really gained a new appreciation for what Sally does day in and day out, as I had to do the show notes myself last week. And that's a labor of love as well.
We have tags on a lot of our articles, so there's a tag cloud. We have reading lists and blog rolls, all kinds of good stuff that you can find if you just do a little digging. Every week, Martin, you mentioned we have Picks of the Week, so if you go to our Picks of the Week page, you can find archives of all of our picks going back to 2008. And typically those are things that Martin or I have used and have found a use for. And I don't know, some of them have become boat anchors over time. They haven't lived up to the expectation or whatever, but for the most part, lots of good stuff there. And again, all of it's tied in using the search feature that's available there on the top bar of the website. So you can always search and bring up resources from across all of the pages of the site.
Very good. Just one last segment we thought we'd talk about is there's, as we're looking at technology move across the years, there are a couple recurring themes, you know, that we noticed that ran through many, if not most, of our shows. Google seems to take center stage quite a bit. And I think that's because I know a lot of our listeners are in the classroom, and Google has made some nice tools available for our teaching community. So we do talk a lot about the things that Google provides and Chromebooks, and plus you've been working a lot with Google as far as some of their certifications and those kinds of things as well, which has been really helpful.
And I'd say, you know, looking back when we started, I think many of our churches and schools were in that mode of having the local server and using files locally and sharing files locally. And Google, for not just schools, for congregations too, has bridged us to doing the cloud-based computing and having all that collaborative ability and having it on our smartphones even, where we can get to our files and edit and do all those things. You know, you don't have to go sit in the church office necessarily to do your job these days. You can get to your files remotely using a lot of the cloud-based storage, not just Google, but many other cloud-based storage alternatives. But Google has definitely benefited our churches and schools in that area.
Yep. Well, it's been fun going down memory lane, kind of taking a look at Wells Tech then and now, 399 episodes later. Next show, 400, we're going to be celebrating the fact that God has given us that many episodes of grace. So hopefully it's been a blessing to our listeners and our viewers, and you'll tune in next week to do that, and we'll be doing that at our Wells Tech conference. So we should probably remind people that, hey, this is going to be a little bit different format next week, different day, in fact. So we'll be doing this on, what is it, Friday,
July 10th.
Is it at 4 or is it later?
It is at 4 p.m. Central, yep. So we didn't change the time, just the day of the week. So I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do with myself next Tuesday afternoon at 4. I'll have to figure something out to fill that time slot because we're shifting it to Friday.
Yep. Speaking of that, why don't we just talk about the conference? We are still taking registrations for that, and we'll for the next few days. So if you are of a mind to join us for that, it's pretty easy to sign up. You just need to go to wells.net/WellsTechConf, kind of see all the sessions that we have scheduled. The keynotes that are there. It's a wonderful venue, Country Springs Hotel and Resort. They have a water park there, so bring the family, spend a few days there, meet some very innovative, I'd call them, speakers and attendees who are all about technology and ministry. So if you are a frequent or even infrequent listener or viewer of this show, it's a good place to be.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it, Martin. Probably worth a mention that we will be doing some live streaming from Wells Tech Conference. For those of you that aren't able to be there in person, you can watch live events, and we'll have links in various places. Hopefully you'll be able to find the live events from the website or from going to the Wells website and going to live events from there. We're having a Thursday evening keynote. That'll be Steve Betcher, and Martin will be joining in that conversation. That should be super interesting. Friday morning, our day starts early at 8 a.m. Central Time with Dave Tess doing a keynote on the effect of the internet and technology on the brain and how we share our faith and all those kind of things. We'll be broadcasting that 400th episode. There's a link there to that, as well as the Friday evening event. This one I'm looking forward to a whole lot. It's called Ignite. And this is not our speakers who have prepared sectionals and things. This is actually coming from the attendees who will be part of the conference. And several of them are going to be sharing kind of their success stories with technology and ministry. And it covers all different spectrums. That should be a really fun event, Martin. I'm really looking forward to that one. And then finally, Martin's going to close out the group sessions with a keynote and devotion on Saturday morning, June 11th at 8:30 a.m. Central Time. So
yeah, I'm
please do tune in live.
To sharing that. I'm going to talk a little bit about how we actually find these intersections of technology and ministry. We talk about them all the time, mm-hmm. but what are the ways that we can actually spy these out and determine, hey, that's something I should be doing, or that's not something I should be doing. It's really a maze of different things that we could be doing, and how do we figure all that stuff out? How do we be good stewards of that stuff?
I can't wait to hear it, Martin. I know you'll be awesome.
Speaking of streaming, we probably should mention some archived streams that are available from the Lutheran Women's Missionary Society convention that was just wrapped up this past weekend.
Yeah, how exciting that for the first time there was streaming of the events there. I'm sure many people tuned in to watch live, but if you want to relive it, if you were there in person and would like to hear some of the speeches again, or if you'd like to share them perhaps in your congregation or whatever, we have five different time slots that were streamed live from LWMS convention, and you can tune in and watch them here on the Well Streams page. So check that out as well.
Nice. All right, we leapfrogged over news and tech, so we probably should return to that topic. And there was today, June 30th, if you're tuning in live, was kind of a big day for Apple. So they have launched their new music streaming service. So they're calling it Apple Music. Some of you are maybe already familiar with Beats Music. So they're going to jump in the fray and go head-to-head with companies like Spotify and RDO and Google Music, those kinds of things. And we'll see how they do. They have a lot of weight to throw behind things like this. They've had iTunes Match for a while, which would allow you to upload your songs and store your songs in the cloud. So you're going to combine that with iTunes Radio, which also existed, but then also play some, allow you to stream music on demand. And that was released today. So if you go to your iPhone or iPad and see if there are any updates available, it will download and you will have Apple Music. They are offering it free for 90 days, so for 3 months. You might as well take advantage of it, see what it can do for you if you are inclined to want to play streamed music. And after that, it's going to be $10 a month. They also have a family plan, which I believe is like $15 a month for up to 6 family members. So that's actually a very good deal. It's better than some of the other services who might eventually match that. Google is not standing still in this area either. They recently launched their Google Play Music module, which they've always had Google Play Music, which is a $10 a month music streaming service, but now they're throwing in radio to kind of do a feature for feature match, kind of like Pandora, where you can create your own streaming music stations, and we'll see how they fare in this in the fray here as well. So,
and there's this free, yes?
That music, the radio part is free, yes.
Ad supported.
On demand. Free. Yeah, the on demand is not. That's the $10 a month stuff.
So. Okay. Okay.
So that is news in tech. Should we move on to picks of the week?
I think we should. Even though I was vacationing last week, believe it or not, I checked my email a few times. And one of the more interesting emails I received ties into the fact that I have a Google Education Trainer status. So I've been through some requirements and things to gain that status, and they wrote to all of us GETs, Google Education Trainers, last week to let us know our title was changing along with their training resources and certification process. So Google has a brand new education-focused training center. You can get to it at edutrainingcenter.withgoogle.com, and they offer training resources and well laid out and thorough and well done training resources. So you can get some fundamentals training, some more advanced training. You can get device training and trainer training. So if you're going to train other people on Google, they have training specific to that. All of the training ties to the ability to achieve some certifications. You can just come and use the training for free and you don't have to worry about certifications, but if you'd like to, you can pursue certifications. So here's where some of the changes came in. They now have Google certified educators, level 1 and level 2. So this would be just for teachers who would like to have some credentials behind the fact that they're using Google tools in their classroom. Not that they're going to train other teachers necessarily, but that they're using it effectively to manage their classroom activities and things. And very worthwhile to pursue these certifications tied to the training that I showed before. Then they have training to lead and train other educators. And this is where my title changed. Instead of being a Google education trainer, I'm now a Google for Education certified trainer. They just made it a longer title. So all of us that were already GETs got grandfathered over to this new parallel certification. But they also added another level called a certified innovator, where you can go even further with the certification if you're a super duper leader on Google training and things like that. So lots of opportunities there with their certifications. Resources are abundant on the Google for Education Training Center. You can find tools and devices information. You can find ideas for using Google in your classroom, real ideas from real teachers, how they're implementing it. And there's a community area as well. So if you drill down, there's just abundant resources here around each of the Google tools that's out there. So definitely A-plus on Google's efforts for their Google for Education Training Center. I don't think you'll be disappointed if you check it out and learn more about Google products for your classroom.
Yeah, definitely a recommended approach that if you are a Google Apps school, be great for probably at least one person on staff to take some of these courses and get a little bit smarter and be that subject matter expert just on your own campus. That would be an excellent use of time, I think. And I think you found, Sally, the courses really well done, right?
Absolutely. One more quick screen share just to give you a little idea of what the courses look like. They give you an idea at the beginning of how long it might take to complete the particular module. They give you some information, and they give you areas to jot down some notes and things within the browser. Then you can see how other people might have responded. So, you know, you give it some thought and mull over it, and then you get some ideas from others who might have responded. There's integrated videos kind of throughout the training. And then when you get to the end, there's some self-assessment. So you can take a little quiz, mark your answer, click check answer, and it'll tell you if you're correct or incorrect. So this first question says, which of the following has had a large impact on education now that the internet is so easily accessible? And the correct answer was the role of rote learning has decreased as students have instant access to the world's knowledge. And again, it's not something that they're tracking or grading you on, but it allows you to work through the modules and kind of self-assess yourself as you're going along. Very, very well done.
Interesting. Good stuff. Nice pick. Mm-hmm. My pick is cell or mobile device. Well, not, I shouldn't say mobile device. It is device related, and that is a company called Dbrand. And Dbrand makes basically skins for your devices. Now, they can be phones, tablets, or even computers, or certain kinds of computers. They make all kinds of materials, carbon fiber, leather, plastic, all kinds of synthetic materials. So you just go onto the site and you pick what kind of device you are trying to skin, and it can be smartphones, tablets. I think the only computers they support are MacBooks, gaming devices, or wearables. So let's, those of you that are watching along at home, you can kind of see all the phones they support, which are quite a few number of smartphones. So you pick what phone you're trying to skin, and you kind of see all of the materials. So they've got carbon fiber, they have matte, they have metal, leather, something they call true color, or even wood. So if you're interested in skinning it with, let's say, wood, they have a little configurator here. You pick whether you want to do the front or the back or the frame, and then you can pick the wood. And as it comes, and I can stop presenting here and just show you my phone. I pick carbon fiber for my iPhone. You kind of see how it gets skinned there. And you got a couple different options for the iPhone 6 here. You can do just kind of partially, so you get a little two-tone. So the carbon fiber you put on, you just lay it on there, and then you use a little blow dryer to soften up the edges so that they'll stick around the sides of it. And then you got the choice of, you could do the entire phone, or you can just do portions of it. So I've got, I didn't do the whole thing. Now, it doesn't give as much protection as a full case, but if it's a larger phone and you don't want to add a lot of girth to it, this is a good way to at least give it some protection. So it will come off. You have to work at it to peel it off. But once you get it on here, you really aren't going to want to take it off. And in this case, it doesn't give much much more size to the phone, so it fits in the pocket. And these are fairly inexpensive, I think, for the whole kit for this particular phone, front and back and edges. Was like $25 or something like that. So that is a company called dbrand.com. All kinds of neat materials that you can put on your smartphone or tablet.
Very cool. You said the word girth, and I had to smile because one of our favorite comedians does this whole stick. His name's Brian Regan, YouTube comedian.
I've seen him, yeah.
And he talks about trying to call for package pickup or something, Federal Express or whatever, and they want to know how many girth units, and he just cracks me up. So if you had said that at the Draper dining room table, there would have been some reaction to that word. So anyway,
I could provide a little entertainment along with the pick of the week.
Yes, thank you. Appreciate
Let's move on to our community feedback, Sally.
And I've got feedback to share. Let me share my screen first. Have a few tabs open that I want you guys to see. The first one was a comment from Lynn. Is it Schreier Canitz? Forgive me if I butcher your name.
First time comment from her. So first of all, thanks, Lynn. But
definitely. She commented on Facebook, Martin, and she said she wanted to tell us about another low-cost photo resource for high-quality images for any church media. It's called Dollar Photo Club. It's a low-cost option of $10 a month with 10 downloads offered a month. All images are a dollar. They will allow you to bank your downloads. So right now she has 45 saved up. So she doesn't necessarily use all 10 downloads each month. She can save them. It's an exclusive club, however. Once in, you will have access to 35 million images and vectors with all downloads, no matter the size, at $1 a piece. When I first started with them, they offered me the ability to send invitations to up to 5 individual email addresses. I've not done that. I don't know if they're still available, but she's willing to try to send them out if anyone's interested. You could certainly make contact with us, and we could get you in touch with Lynn. Check them out. She's worked with them exclusively for the past 7 months and has been very happy with the outcome. Recommends them highly. Martin, I listened a little to the beginning of the podcast last week, and you talked about how important media is with a social media strategy, and having the right image to fit what you're trying to communicate is huge.
Makes a big difference in clicks and those people that are engaged or read the post. So I will rarely post anything on a social network without a picture these days. So this kind of thing is real handy. And so what would that be, $120 a year? You're going to get some good quality stock photography for lots of different applications. Can be social media, can be website, can be newsletter, can be something within the worship service or a screen someplace on your campus. So sounds like a good deal.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Lynn. Appreciate it. And thanks for contributing to the show. Wonderful.
Next up, Martin, another comment via Facebook. Actually, our our show notes allow you to comment using Facebook. And that's what Leslie Bergerman did. Leslie is a longtime show contributor, and we always appreciate hearing from Leslie. This time she commented on your show last week, Martin, where you demonstrated Hootsuite and how valuable it can be for managing your social media channels, especially for a church or school. Leslie's comment was free and paid automated posting options for Google Plus are extremely limited. Hootsuite stands alone in performance and ease of use. So there's someone who makes use of it in particular for Google Plus and is singing the praises. So thanks for that, Leslie.
Yep. Hootsuite, if you didn't tune into last week's show and you're interested in easy ways to share on social media in a time-shifted way so you can schedule posts, Hootsuite is what I talked about last week, and that's what Leslie was commenting on. Those of you that are social media managers for your organization, you may want to check it out.
All right, a couple of links from our education contributors. First of all, from Jason Schmidt via Digo. He tagged Storytelling with Maps with the Wells Tech tag. Wanted to share that with you. As you can use this site, it says they combine intelligent maps with web applications and templates that incorporate text, multimedia, and interactive functions. Story maps inform, educate, entertain, and inspire people about a wide variety of topics. Most story maps are designed for non-technical audiences. That would be a good thing. So yeah, they have examples here. Soak Up San Diego and Connecticut's Changing Landscape. So perhaps useful with your outreach efforts as well, or just introducing people to the area where your congregation or school is located. So certainly classroom uses, I'm sure, are many.
Good.
Also, an education tag from our Wells Google Plus community of Wells Google Schools. We heard from John Dorn. He gave us a couple of links. The first one being, I say Wideo, but it's probably supposed to be video with the W pronounced like a V.
Wideo, like an Elmer Fudd. Yes.
Okay, thank you. I'm terrible at this pronunciation stuff. Okay, and maybe we've talked about Wideo before on the podcast. It's an online video.
I think we would have remembered that name, Sally. But
okay. So you can bring up your images and things, animate between objects that are included, control privacy, share and download your videos, all of that online. And I know where I heard of this. I heard of this when we talked about Chromebooks and when I attended the Google Summit where we were real focused on Chromebooks a few years ago, because that's one thing that Chromebooks don't have is some local video editing software. And up to this point, video editing has been kind of difficult to achieve in the cloud because you're working with some really large files. But now more and more tools are available, and this is definitely one you might want to bookmark and learn more about, especially if you're in a Chromebook kind of setting. It'd be a good option for you. Also from John Dorn and Jason Schmidt concurred that this was a great find by adding it via Digo, but first heard of it from John over on that Wells Google Schools community. He was very excited to share TopHat.com. He said, creating engaging lessons that give you the opportunity to ask questions that your students answer via whatever device they have. So this is basically a clicker for smartphones that students can make use of from their seat. They can be using tablets or any type of mobile device and able to get real-time, voting and that kind of thing that you would with an automated kind of classroom clicker system using smartphones. So you can even assign questions that you've built with the Top Hat app as homework for students that are absent that day or something like that. So John was very excited about the possibilities. Looking forward to seeing John next week at Wells Tech Conference, and maybe we'll catch up with him, Martin, and get him to tell us more about TopHat.com.
Yeah, that's interesting, that whole student interaction thing, especially if it works with web interface, because a lot of these Chromebooks are sitting on students' desks these days, and getting feedback through a tool like that would be cool.
Definitely. One more, Martin, that I thought you might want to talk about, especially since it came from our favorite social media site, Pinterest. Our friend Perry Lund, who's a teacher out at Evergreen Lutheran High School, pinned an infographic having to do with OneNote in education, and that's something I hadn't heard a lot about.
Yeah, we talked about this a while back where Microsoft was trying to get into the education space in a bigger way using OneNote. And we've talked about Evernote in the classroom before. OneNote is maybe even a better tool, in my opinion. And the infographic that Perry pinned, if I'm using the right terminology, talks a little bit about how it works, because you can have different notebooks for different use cases. And in this case, you can have OneNote staff notebooks and then even OneNote class notebooks where there's collaboration going on, note-taking. And if you're familiar with OneNote at all, one of the most powerful features of it is the ability, well, two powerful features is the ability to share and collaborate, but also you can stuff almost anything in it. You can stuff web links, videos, audio files, images, documents, those kinds of things can all be thrown in a notebook and collected in one place rather than kind of scattered hither and yon. So it's just a good collection tool. And when you put that in the hands of a teacher who knows how to use it and students who have access to it, you really have a powerful educational tool. And it comes with Office 365. So if you've got an Office 365 for education subscription, you have the ability to really take advantage of OneNote in the classroom. And community feedback that I posted was a blog, a Microsoft in Education blog that really talks about OneNote for education. Nice tool.
Yeah, we'll want to catch up with Perry sometime and see how he's using it out there.
I don't know if Perry's going to be at the conference or not. But
unfortunately not, no.
Yeah, we should circle back with him and see if he's using this in the classroom. I'd be interested in hearing his thoughts on that.
So that's going to do it for community feedback, but I do have a couple of ministry resources from our friend Lauren Hunter over at Church Tech Today. These two articles of interest came across this week that basically tied right into what you talked about last week, using social media and strategies around social media. Martin, I think you gave us some things to do and ways to make it engaging and that kind of thing. This article is titled Three Mistakes Churches Make with Social Media. And one of them, they used great imagery to represent something they called the bullhorn approach, where we often use social media just like a soapbox and push out a lot of thoughts and that kind of thing, whereas we want it to be more conversational, not just a chance to push out a lot of stuff to a lot of people. They also say mistake number two is no social media strategy. And again, Martin, I think you touched on that last week.
Very important.
Definitely recommended having
strategy. Yeah.
Strategies. And then finally, mistake number three is it's all about me. And this goes to the conversational side of things too. You know, keeping it open and being in tune to what's going on around you and the people you're interacting with, and not just being focused on getting your particular message out, but being in tune to the community and that kind of thing. One other article was titled How the World Uses Twitter, based on an infographic that they came across. But the point of the article from Church Tech Today was having that social media strategy. And in order to have a decent strategy, you need to be in tune to the kind of stats and things that are shared in these kind of infographics, like how the world uses Twitter, how many people are out there, where they're coming from, what their ages are, what kind of events they're tweeting about, things like that. Here's even the most active times. So if you wanted to use a tool like Hootsuite to schedule your tweets to go out at a good time, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. are kind of some of those peak times for Twitter, for tweeting, I should say, use the right terminology. So two good articles, definitely worth adding to our ministry resources page.
Yep. Know your audience, build that profile so that you are taking advantage of the tool and you know, being on, you know, in tune with who you're talking to and being on the same channel. So that is our ministry resource section. If you want to contribute, as some of these folks did that we were talking about today, wellstech.wells.net, as we mentioned, but we're all on all the other social networks as well. Pinterest, Facebook, Twitter, Digo. Not to mention the listserv, really valuable tool where a lot of people, hundreds and hundreds of people are monitoring that and ready to respond to questions that you might have. So just go to the website for all that good stuff.
Martin, I'm looking at the website and I'm reminded that we have a brand new Instagram account. Also reminded, one of the reasons we have that account is because we're really looking forward to taking advantage of social media during WellsTech Conference. So if you want to follow the conference via social media, we're going to encourage everyone to use the hashtag WellsTechConf, C-O-N-F. And so you can find tweets and Google Plus posts and Facebook post and Instagram pictures and all those things by searching that particular hashtag WellsTechCon.
Very good. Okay. Sally, we have a featured video this week.
We do, and it harkens back to our very first show, Martin. You mentioned earlier that we used to include a featured artist every week, so we'd end the show with music, and that featured artist on episode number one of WellsTech was our friend Mike Westendorf. Mike has a brand new CD out called Songs We Carry, and he has a video about the making of that CD. Actually, he calls it an album, Behind the Album. And so we're going to feature that video on this week's WellsTech. So look for that in the show notes.
Neat. Next week, we already mentioned, it's going to be Friday. That's July 10th at 4 o'clock Central. If you are not a WellsTech conference attendee, you can tune in live. We'll be broadcasting it live. We actually won't be using Google Hangouts for that show. Since we're on location, we'll be using our live streaming equipment. So if you can still go to the Hangout, you can still go to wellstechlive.wells.net, but on that page you'll find a link to where the live event is, or you can just go to livestream.com/wellslive, I think it is, and you'll see the event there as well. So look forward to either seeing you in person or during the live stream, you'll have the opportunity to make a comment there as well, just like you can here. Sally, 399 is in the can, so to speak. We made it through another one, and looking forward to number 400 and having you come to Wisconsin to do it with me.
Thank you, sir. I'm looking forward to it, too. We put a lot of work into WellsTech Conference, and we really can't wait to meet all the folks that are going to be there.
All right. So I will see you in a week, and hopefully we'll be talking to all of you all in a week as well. Thanks for joining us, and God's blessings on your week. Bye-bye.